It's Friday, time now for Northwest weather with Cliff Mass and KPLU's Bellamy Palethorpe. We got a low pressure system and a northeastern breeze. We got a falling barometer of rising seas. We got the cumulonimbus nimbus and a possible gale. We got a force 9 blowing on the Beaufort scale.
And it's over now, but what a stormy night we had. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe with our weather expert Cliff Mass at the University of Washington. He's going to tell us how this windstorm stacks up. He'll also give us the forecast. But first, Cliff, how fast did those winds get last night?
Well, I heard them. I was sitting in my house and the branches were breaking outside during the height of it. And the storm really hit like a wall of wind. It was a very, very sudden turn on. Almost everybody had gusts getting up to 40 to 50 miles per hour, virtually anywhere you were in western Washington. But there were some stronger winds. If you were up in Everett, if you were up in the northwest part of the state, if you're by the water, there were gusts getting up to 60, 70 miles per hour, even a few above that. So this was a respectable windstorm. Now, this wasn't one of the greats. This wasn't the equivalent of the Hanukkah Eve storm or the Inauguration Day storm, where winds gusting way higher than that, up to 80 plus. But it was strong enough that we have about 150,000 people lost power. This was associated with a storm that developed off of California, revved up very rapidly off the coast there, came up the coast, and then crossed over Tatoosh Island. And that's the sweet spot. If you want to get strong winds in western Washington, that is the exact location you want that low to cross. Now, you know, this was an interesting storm from a forecasting point of view. The major computer models, like the European Center or the American GFS, did not agree, you know, 2, 3, 4 days out. There was tremendous disagreement among the 4 or 5 major models.
Why was that?
Well, it turns out that this was a very small-scale system. Now, when you have a really big windstorm, you know, it's big spatially, the models are able to get the information, the structural information, the description of what's out there much earlier on. But this was a very, very weak disturbance initially, and it wasn't until it started revving up off of California that the models got enough information to describe the storm sufficiently to get the prediction right and to agree on the prediction. But once we got within about 36 hours out, the models all snapped together. And in fact, the forecasts were really quite good. We really had this scoped out pretty well. So I guess it was a success in the short term, but it shows that we still don't have enough data over the Pacific to get those longer-term forecasts right.
And as dramatic as the storm was last night, the really amazing story of the week was how warm it was on Wednesday, 66 degrees at SeaTac, 68 at Boeing Field.
That's right. And, you know, we're talking about the warmest temperatures ever observed at SeaTac and Olympia and Bellingham and Quileute. The warmest December temperatures on record. That means that it has never been warmer in the 100-year record at Seattle, for instance. I mean, that is an amazing record. When you break an all-time record for a month, I mean, you have to take notice. And the reason for this was that we had this amazing plume of warm air coming from the southwest. I mean, there's a name we give for this. This is an atmospheric river or locally a pineapple express. We had strong southwesterly winds that was drawing air from right near Hawaii right up into here. So this huge plume of tropical air. And then it got a little bit of a spike because during that day, all of a sudden, we started getting some easterly flow at low levels. As the system was coming in, some air started descending down the mountains. And that gave it an extra spike of warmth that really pushed us over. So, you know, we're not going to see warm temperatures like that again, at least for the next few weeks. The models are pretty clear about that.
Yeah, and the forecast this weekend is really very mild, isn't it?
That's right, but cooler than we've had. Today we have some residual showers that are moving through behind the system. Also considerable cloudiness. So, you know, a few sprinkles and temperatures getting up into the lower 50s. Saturday, there'll still be some clouds floating around quite a bit, but the precipitation will back off during the day. We could even see some sun breaks sometime Saturday afternoon. Temperatures getting up to around 50, maybe upper 40, something like that. Sunday looks like the best day. a ridge, an upper-level ridge is moving in off the Pacific. That should bring the temperatures up a few degrees, kill the precipitation, and I'm hopeful we'll at least get some sun on Sunday. So Sunday looks like the best day. And then as we get to next week, a few weak disturbances start coming through, but there's no major system, no major storm, no major heat wave, no nothing. It'll be typically a little bit above normal temperatures and some light precipitation. This is not good for the snowpack. The snow melted considerably this week, and there's no major snow event coming up, at least in the next 3 to 4 days.
All right. Thanks, Cliff.
Sure.
He teaches atmospheric sciences at the University of Washington. You can subscribe to podcasts of our weekly conversations at our website, kplu.org. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe, KPLU News.